This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Spend it all. I have not
money. We make it. Clemson, friends on the team. We're getting a lot of votes for Clemson. Clemson. How about that? All right. Let's see. Konzo Martin coming up in about 6 or 7 minutes here on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Mizzou's got a big one coming up this week against Tennessee. But right now we're going to talk with Chris Kerber. The Blues got a big one tonight at Philadelphia. Chris, how are you today?
Frank, I'm doing good. Team just hit the ice here at Wells Fargo Center. And, we'll see. This team is going to have to become road warriors because after the next two home games, they're going to play 22 of 30 on the road. So you might as well start the road mentality tonight.
And they're facing a Flyer team that certainly gives up a lot of goals. I think they're 28th in goals allowed this season, so maybe an offensive explosion for the Note tonight.
Yeah, two teams that have actually had somewhat similar seasons, neither team meeting expectations. Both teams have interim head coaches. The Flyers, though, went one step further and made the general manager change from Hextall to Fletcher. So, two teams that find themselves in similar situations and just trying to battle for consistency.
So the other night, it was kind of rare, only 14 shots allowed. That's the good news, but four goals allowed also. How'd you see that one?
Look, this team has played really well 5-on-5 hockey over the last five games. Honestly, if the special teams had been there, I from a power play standpoint, I think you're talking about a team that's on a five-game winning streak. In the last game, it was two very simple things. Jake Allen wasn't good enough in goal, and your power play continues to not have any power to it. So those were the two factors in that last game. And, I pin a lot on Jake in that game because both those saves that went under his arm are saves that I think he'll even tell you that he's got to have. That said, the team's up 2-1. You get a power play chance to make it 3-1, or they tie the game and you get a chance to break the tie, or they go ahead and you've got a chance to tie it again. Your power play has to be there. And frankly, you've got all your top eight players playing on that top power play unit, and they're not working hard enough to get a goal there. And so, to me, you have to wonder if at some point in time you just make a drastic change and you blow up that power play and put – it wouldn't disappoint me at all to see Ivan Barbashev and Oscar Sundquist on the power play tonight. Let me put it that way.
I like the idea. Do you think there's any thought to that? Or is this inside or just a Chris Kerber thought that this is the way it should go?
No, I don't think, based on what we've seen for the last year and a half on how the power play has been managed, I don't think there's any chance that you're going to see that. But at some point in time, the accountability in terms of if you're not getting it done, it has to happen. If some other guys are getting it done, you've got a guy in Oscar Sundquist that has more even strength goals than Vladimir Tarasenko.
Wait a minute, hold on. I want you to repeat that. I want you to repeat that statement one more time. Go ahead, one more. Repeat that real slowly.
You've got a guy in Oscar Sundquist who has 7 goals. All of them are at even strength. All right, Vladimir Tarasenko has 5 even strength goals. Oscar Sundquist has more even strength goals than Vladimir Tarasenko this season.
Gosh. Well, there's a reason that you're sponsored by Petromart with great stats like that. Good work. So with Jake's off Saturday night, any chance at all he would get a break tonight?
Yeah, he is. Jordan Binnington is going to get his first career NHL start tonight. Listen, Jordan Binnington was starting to dominate in the American Hockey League. He was playing really well. In San Antonio, they got that team together, and it took a little while for them to gel, but he started backstopping them and was playing really well. So we'll see how he goes tonight. With the team going back-to-back, Binnington will get the start here tonight. Jake will get the rest. And Jake, I believe, will get the start tomorrow night against the Dallas Stars on home ice.
Jake
has been playing pretty well, Frank. Sorry, Jake has been playing pretty well. But what's happened with this hockey team is you just haven't had that run of 3, 4, 5 games where everybody's firing on all cylinders, where the goaltending, the special team, your top players, your 5-on-5 play are going. It just hasn't happened this year.
How is Jordan athletically?
He's solid. He's a big goaltender. He's thin. He was wearing an all-black outfit. I asked him on the plane if he's a Johnny Cash fan yesterday. But he's athletic. He can move laterally pretty well. They like his glove. When I talked to the coaching staff about what was going well with him down in the American Hockey League, but look, part of the reason you could look at where this team is at is they've had the issue where they decided not to re-sign Carter Hutton. They decided not to re-sign him during the year. He got a terrific offer from Buffalo, and so they've had the issues from a backup goaltending standpoint to find some consistency there too. They're going to need, if they're going to climb back into this thing, and there's no reason they can't. You still have over half a hockey season to go, but it's going to take some consistent play. To do that, they're going to need their backup goaltender to pick up some points here from time to time for them.
We're talking with Chris Kerber, voice of the Blues, Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new Five Night of the Fan. Alex Pietrangelo, I think, was heading into Saturday, coming off one of his best games of the season. What did you see from the captain on Saturday?
I think the play was okay. I don't think some of the decision-making was great. And just for the record, Frank, I'm sitting here watching the power play practice, and I'm not going to get my wish.
Who's on the power? Who do you got?
Well, you've got the one power play unit with Steen, O'Reilly, and Perron, Tarasenko, and Pietrangelo, and then you've got the other power play unit of Thomas, Schwartz, and Shen with Parayko and Dunn along the blue line. By the way, when they did their line rushes today, Robert Thomas was in the middle of Pat Maroon and Sanford, so it looks like Thomas is going to play center tonight.
Well, you like what you're seeing out of him.
Yeah, I think Robert Thomas is continuing to grow, and, he was a centerman. He was drafted as a centerman. In the NHL, they seem to like to take centermen, make them play wing for a little while, and then put them back in the middle, and so he'll be in the middle here tonight.
Do you think it's preposterous to suggest even talking about trading Vladimir Tarasenko?
No, and that's really one of the concerns. Concern may not be the right word, but with the way this team is playing, for some reason they just haven't come together as a team. The trip to Annapolis didn't do it. Did different things. So, I think, look, and I'll take it away from just the specific player that you asked. I think if you're Doug Armstrong, you're looking at every single scenario here. You've got a guy in Vladimir Tarasenko who he has a no-trade clause that kicks in on July 1st. You've got a guy in Alex Pietrangelo that is going to be 30 by the end of next season. He'll become an unrestricted free agent. What's the kind of contract and dollar figure he'll be looking for moving into his 30s? You've got a guy in Braden Schenn that's got under contract still for another year. You've got Steen under contract for a couple of years. You've got some guys. Defensively, you're looking at Parayko. You've got Vince Dunn. You're not overly happy with your defensive depth. Wallman isn't progressing in the American Hockey League as well as you would like. So I think, all in all, Doug Armstrong's going to look at some way, shape, or form at contracts. You know he's going to take a very smart approach to whatever he does, no matter who he decides to move or keep. And so I don't think any of those ideas are frankly preposterous, and I think you can probably find a reason to justify just about any of it.
Chris, great stuff. We'll be listening tonight. Thank you so much.
Okay, Frank, have a great day today. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow before the home game against Dallas.
You got it. Chris Kerber bye-bye. Joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new Five Night of the Fan. What a schedule. You're at Philly, home against Dallas, home against the Canadiens Thursday, and then at Dallas on Saturday. Chris Kerber is brought to you by Petromart. Petromart is locally owned and operated. It's a family business that's been serving St. Louis for over 30 years. Each location is just as clean, fast, and friendly as the next, with 50 locations to serve you in a hurry. Petromart offers a wide selection of grab-and-go food items like hot-and-ready pizza, fresh fruit, and salads. Petromart has something for everybody. It's always prepared fresh and available around the clock. Petromart, a proud supplier of Phillips 66 gasoline and a proud sponsor of the St. Louis Blues. Got a big one coming up in Columbia on Tuesday. The Tennessee Volunteers come to town. They are really good. They are 12-1, and the Missouri Tigers have won 6 in a row. Joining us is their head coach, Konzo Martin. Coach, good to be with you. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Frank. How you doing?
Everything's great. So much to discuss. First of all, I think that Central Florida game, the shot by Geist, it begins this 6-game winning streak. That was really kind of a season-changing moment, wasn't it?
Yes, because we were able to go into overtime and win the game. I think that helped our team gain a level of confidence. and to beat a team like Central Florida is one of the better defensive teams in the country with great experience. So to get that win, I think it really helped us grow as a team.
I know that Jeremiah was not great against Morehead State, but he was unbelievable against Illinois. His season stats are solid. What are you seeing with Jeremiah right now?
Well, he's doing fine. I just think that really just the consistency, staying aggressive, being assertive, you know, rebounding the basketball. And I think, again, he's a different player when he's on the floor. It was an unfortunate game for him against Morehead. But other than that, I think he's been playing well. He's been practicing well on both ends of the floor. And I think, again, we need him to be an elite rebounder because he can score the ball. We have to give him the ball in a lot of different situations. I think there are probably, you know, 5 to 7 times where we probably miss him in the post. We got to give him the ball to make plays because he makes our team better when he gets the ball.
The one stat that really jumps out at me when you look at your club is Mark Smith shooting 46% from three. He's come as advertised.
Yes, he's making shots. He didn't shoot as well a year ago, but he spent a lot of time from the, at least when he was with us from the summer up until this point. He gets a lot of shots in the a.m., in the p.m., during practice. He spends a lot of time on it. Now, for us, the next phase for Mark is being able to make plays consistently off the dribble because with his ability to shoot, they pressure him to make him drive the ball. And again, it's that next step in his game, just making plays off the dribble. But he's shooting the ball at a high level.
I hear all the time about your guys getting there in the a.m. Give me an idea. Do they come at like 7 a.m. before class and get shots? Or you tell us.
Yes, yeah, some do. And again, if it's not a mandatory practice, then some guys in the a.m., some in the p.m., but most guys like to get in the a.m. And I like to see guys in the gym, and it really helps me because when guys' shots aren't falling, oftentimes a true indication when you get shot and fall in the game, you're not getting a lot of minutes. You look back from the standpoint, you hadn't got 500 to 1,000 makes in a day. And that's what it really takes when you're trying to be a great basketball player. Of course, you have your required hours as a team to practice. But I think the guys that take the next steps from an individual standpoint is when you put that extra time into it. So, like, for example, we had guys in this morning, and this is 7 guys that don't play a lot with guys that are walk-on or guys that are sitting out. They came in at 8:30 this morning, had film session, then they had a workout at 9. And then you had, you know, the usual Mark Smith and Javon came in at, you know, 7:38. They get their work in and they get their treatment in, the cold tub and all that. So, yeah, just it becomes a lifestyle when you're trying to be a great basketball player as well as having a great program.
Torrence Watson is one of the great shooters we've had in our town in maybe the last decade. I know he's gotten a little better. He's made baby steps. What are you seeing with Torrence right now?
I think he's doing real well right now. He's getting the time into it. He's shooting the ball well. But he's also playing with a lot of confidence. And you can just see his game growing on both sides of the basketball. And, again, everybody goes at a different pace. They feel it at a different time. And I think he's starting to hit his stride. And, again, I don't know if it'll show for us how many points or that sort of thing, but I think he's made strides.
This is kind of a unique situation because I know there's injuries. Coaches make decisions during the season. But here you are. 12 games in, 9-3, and you've started the same 5 every game.
Well, again, I feel like that 5 has earned it. That 5, I think they work well together. Now, I mean, but again, in practice, the only time you see the same 5 is when we practice. I mean, excuse me, in games. But practice, that's probably a different lineup every day. We don't keep the same guys because you play with different guys, and then your starting 5 might be different the last minute of the game. Because you might have guys that are better suited to get defensive stops or guys that are better suited to make shots. But everybody plays with everybody. But right now, yeah, that's been a starting 5 for us.
Boy, you're facing a Tennessee squad with some explosive talent, from Grant Williams to Schofield to Bone. You got 3 guys averaging 14 or more. What do you see when you're looking at Tennessee on tape?
Good team. I mean, they score the ball. They defend it, play hard, they're physical. Of course, a well-coached team. And again, I think, you know, the same thing I said to our players yesterday. They're a team that had a chance to win the conference championship last year, and they won it. They tied for the conference title. So normally when you do that and you have everybody returning, the next step is trying to be an elite program to be a Final Four caliber team. And I think that's the next phase for their program, and that's what they feel. But simply for us, it's our job to, one, to protect our home court and to play against an SEC opponent. I don't get consumed with what they're ranked and all that sort of thing. Our job is the most important thing. Is to win a home basketball game. That's as simple as I can put it.
Tell me about Santos, who's now joined the squad. He's played 3 games for you. I know you're high on him also.
He's doing well. Again, he was out probably for, you know, 2+ months, but he's playing well. He's practicing well. And I think he's doing right now. I think he's more advanced defensively at reading the offenses, taking charges, rebounding the basketball, understanding who he's defending. And his offense is coming along because he's a guy that can run the floor. He's a guy that can make 3-point shots and doesn't shoot as many now just because he's trying to get his legs up on him. But we need him slashing, run the floor, and making plays at the rim.
Coach, I want to ask you about the way you do things recruiting-wise. We've had a celebrated transfer here in St. Louis over the last week. You may have heard about that. I'm wondering, it doesn't seem like you've had many kids transfer out of your program over the year, but how difficult is that from a coach's perspective when a guy like you, who's a relentless recruiter, you were in Highland this weekend, you're always all over St. Louis, always all over Kansas City, always all over the country, and you're doing the texting, you're doing everything possible, and you get a kid there, and then they leave after a semester or a year. How difficult is that for a coach?
Well, I think it's difficult from the standpoint you spend time in recruiting them. But I'll say that twofold. As a player, as a coach, you have to give it. If a kid wants to leave your program, you have to do his best for him, allow him to leave your program. But oftentimes, as coaches, we're also, in most cases, we're parents. You become father figures. So you try to see the young man's future and understand what's out there. But, you know, when you're 18 years old, 19 years old, you feel like you have it all figured out. You have the answer. You want to do something different. You have the right to do that. The best. We had a young man that transferred from our program last year, and he was starting at the point guard position. And you wish him the best. And I think it's as simple as you can put it. No hard, especially for me, there are never any hard feelings. Because you like to see every young man be successful, not only get a degree, but have a successful career, whether it's from the professional ranks or just in the corporate world. I have no problem with that. But it's always hard because you invest in young men when you recruit them and you build relationships. But I think the other part when young guys transfer so early, one is how you recruit them, because I always try to be honest and transparent in recruiting. But I think when they get in your program, it's not as easy as it looked on the surface. It's a lot of hard work when you're trying to be a great player and having a great team. And it's a lot of hard work. There's a lot of sacrifice and commitment in doing that. And some are willing to do it and some are not. And some just need a change of environment. That's part of it, too. There's nothing wrong with that.
If you were in charge, would you allow kids to transfer without having to sit out? Because coaches can leave without having to sit out. What's your take on that? Like we've had just a little bit of trouble with Konzo Martin's phone. We're going to check in with that. And it's interesting, too, because he does have a program that has been aided by transfers. He has, Ronnie Suggs transferred from Bradley, and, of course, Mark Smith transferred from Illinois. Jordan Geist, I believe, was a junior college player, so he was going to move into a 4-year school anyway. But it's interesting. I mean, most schools have their share of transfers coming in, and there's share of transfers, you know, coming out. And I just want to know, you know, from a coach's perspective, if they can leave and get a job right away, shouldn't the player be allowed to leave and be eligible right away? Or does that set up a situation where it would be mass chaos? So let's welcome Coach back. So, Coach, if you were in charge of the NCAA, and coaches can leave a school and be eligible to coach right away, would you allow players to be eligible right away if they transferred?
Yes. I mean, I think so. I have no problem with that. I mean, because, you know, this is the one thing that I said. I have no problem with a young man transferring and want to be a part of something different. But I've always said, just as a freshman, because there are things that you go through in life, you deal with adversity in life. As a freshman, If we can get freshmen just to stay for 1 year, even if they're not playing, they're struggling, going through things. I'm not talking about if they're being harmed or mistreated. I'm not talking about that. But it's simply just basketball. Somebody's in front of me that's older. He might be better. Have to learn how to work hard. So I think as a freshman, just try to learn to go through that, because it's an experience you'll deal with in life. So deal with that. So now if you're struggling and not playing, you have to figure out why you're not playing. If the other guy's older, if he's just that much better, you still have to go through that. Because I think what happens is Now, after that, you do that your freshman. You want to transfer, do whatever you need to do. I just feel like as freshmen, just the experience of life and dealing with adversity, because in most cases, the guys that we get at this level were probably the best guys on the high school team in the state, in the area. So they never dealt with a lot of adversity like this, and that's the first time they experienced that. Because I remember when I went to college, the first 12, 15 games, I wasn't playing a lot. But I never had the mindset of, you know, transferring, because that wouldn't have been accepted back home anyway. So, because you got a tremendous opportunity, then if you feel like you're not playing, then beat the guy out that's in front of you. Because every coach wants to win games. Nobody's going to sit a player down that can help him win games. So I just think as true freshmen, just to experience the adversity of life if you're not playing and learn from that. Because I think it'll help you grow in life. And in the long run, it'll help you grow as a person.
I know what kind of man you are, and you're never nasty with any of your players. But are you more gentle with freshmen, at least initially?
I'm not sure what the gentle part is. I mean, I just think what happens, you're coaching them. I mean, I'm never going to mistreat anybody, because first and foremost, that's somebody's child. I'm never going to mistreat anybody. But what I'm saying is when you're coaching them, you're pushing them, you're driving them, but it's not malicious. I'm not harming. I'm not hurting them. I'm not attacking their character. But you're pushing, you're motivating, you're driving to be successful. Because what happens at the end of the day, you're trying to get a young man out of his comfort zone and take him to that next level. Because your job as a coach to be his eyes, and you see his vision 5-10 years down the road. He can't see what he needs to become. And I think at the end of the day, you have a lot of great coaches that can do a lot of great things. But I think more important as a coach, you have to help that young man see what he can't see. And I think that is very important. And in all of that, there's a high level of trust that is involved to help him get where he's trying to go.
Sometimes perception is not reality, because if you just watch a Purdue game when you were playing and you saw Gene Katy, you think, oh, man, this guy is so mean. But he actually wasn't like that at all, was he?
No, he's a beautiful man. I mean, we actually talked yesterday. Just Coach is a good guy. And I'll say this now, and hopefully he doesn't hear me, but Coach was a teddy bear, really. Now, I didn't think that as a player. And again, you know, coming from East St. Louis, we were coached. And I never thought, you know, Benny Lewis. I thought Benny Lewis was tremendous. I thought he treated us well. He pushed us. And I never thought we were mistreated. I never thought Coach Katy mistreated me in any way, shape, or form. And I thought, really, and I say this all the time, I thought both of those guys, Benny Lewis and Coach Katy, were ahead of their time. Because, you know, when they said back in the day when guys used to use a certain amount of language when they were coaching, those guys didn't talk like that. They didn't back then. They just coached the basketball game. They pushed guys. If they felt like you weren't as tough as a team, they talked about it as a team, not as an individual. They didn't attack your character like that. So both the guys were ahead of their time, and they taught me a lot from that standpoint. But no, Coach Katy he's a fun-loving, nice guy. Now, he was tough from the standpoint he demanded the right things, you know, going to class every day, being on time, do the right things, all those things that you would teach as a father, that you would teach your son or your daughter.
How often do you communicate with him, by the way?
Oh, you know, it's probably at least once a week. Like, we talked yesterday morning. So after every game we play, he'll call the next day. So we'll talk then. And outside of the season, we'll probably talk once a week. So we talk all the time. But it's never really – it's like when he watches play, it's not necessarily like he's evaluating me. It's just, you know, guys, his biggest thing, he always talks about post play. I mean, he loves to talk about the post play of the game. But other than that, it's just how the kid is doing. Like, my oldest son, Josh, is in college, so he tries to see him whenever he can. He always asks about him. But other than that, it's not necessarily about the game of basketball. Just more life stuff, how the kid's doing. And, you know, keep doing what you're doing. Keep motivating these young men. Keep teaching them life skills, that sort of thing.
Coach, great stuff. Honored to have you on the program. Good luck against Tennessee tomorrow night, sir.
Thank you for having me, Frank.
All righty. Konzo Martin. And I think in that interview you just found out what kind of guy that guy is. And we've known it for a long time. He is something else. All right. Before we go to break, quick word about Hollywood Casino, our title sponsor. If you're looking for a place for the weekend, we recommend watching the games. I bet they don't have charter. Watching the games at 99 Hops House. Sampling some great appetizers. 99 different beers to choose from. Man, do they do a great job. And that Final Cut Steakhouse, one of the great steakhouses in St. Louis. We'll take a short time out, text and phone calls when we come.